Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello guys and welcome to another episode. We are going to be talking about the Brighton win, to be fair. First win in a while. I'm joined by Callum. So jumping straight in, because we've got quite a bit to talk about, because obviously we've got a few goal scorers today. The lineup, which one thing I will say did shock me, and I was disappointed, if I'm honest, to see Buendia get the drop, to be fair. And obviously, I thought that, you know, Sanson might have got a start. I thought Chambers maybe brought in the middle for Louise. Obviously, all in hindsight, because obviously we've won. But, you know, looking when I first saw the announcement, what do you think of it? Because I would be honest, I was disappointed.
I think we've said it a few times over the last few weeks that, you know, we've expected changes and there's been none, or, you know, there's only been one or two. You know, a routine change with Conte coming back in, which possibly helped us in hindsight. You can say the same about keeping Watkins and Ings in and dropping Buendia in hindsight. Looking back now, after, you know, knowing the outcome of the game, we know that helped us out for the better. But intentionally, I was surprised to see Louise, Watkins and Ings in the team. You know, there's loads of talk about, well, loads of fans wanting Cash dropped, Mings dropped, Louise dropped, you know, Ings dropped and whoever. You know, some of them you could understand, but, I said it last week that some of the players that people want to be dropped are our best players in that position. So, it's kind of a hard one to say about that, but you know, Brighton has slightly changed their way that they set up, going to a three back, with Cucurella being a left centre back, which he's not normally known for. So I think it would have been a bit of a tougher game if he was playing left wing back. But, you know, obviously it didn't pay off for Brighton in the end. And then luckily our team, although not great, was still able to get through with a decent performance. And especially I thought a good defensive performance more than a forward or an attacking performance.
Yeah, just before we move into the first half, you know, it's good to see as well that Tommy O'Reilly got called up to the matchday squad. Obviously, Leon Bailey was back on the bench as well. And obviously House is there, Chambers, which I thought was a bit harsh getting dropped. I thought he was quite decent last week. One of the very few performers last week, in my opinion. So, you know, looking at that lineup, I was a bit annoyed is a word I'll use. Got into the first half, like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch the game in full, as I was out with my daughter, but I did keep up as much as I could, or she allowed me to keep up, I will say. But obviously, I did see bits and pieces of the first half. But obviously, the goal was the main thing I saw. So, what do you take of the first half, from? Because I know you did watch the full game.
Yeah, the first 10 or, you know, 12 minutes, you'd probably say Brighton edged it. There was a half a chance early on. Cash did some great tracking back on March, tap it out for a corner. If he wasn't there, possibility of a goal. Then it's a bit of time in between that. Then it comes to the 17th minute where Cash has his moment of, well, not madness, but moment of brilliance. It's a lovely strike. And it's even better that it just comes off the post and goes in as well. Yeah, you know, no keeper saves it. The only unfortunate thing is that he gets booked for it. We understand the message and, you know, what things are happening in the world right now. And, you know, with him having close friends and teammates for Poland.
Yeah.
Being involved in the situation in Ukraine, we understand it, but at the same time, the rule states if you take your shirt off fully in any time on the pitch, it's a yellow card offence. Now, I see a lot of fans saying, oh, the Premier League need to overturn that because it's of what it's meaning and all this lot, but I don't see the Premier League doing that because they won't. Go against them. Excuse me. They won't go against themselves just for this kind of one-off thing, because you know everyone could do it for the rest until this carries on. So, unfortunately, it's a yellow card there. But you know, it was a good way to kick on in the first half. 4 minutes after that, we seem like we are. We seem to concede after scoring, or you know, in the passage of plays after, we seem to lose our heads defensively, and that's what we did. McAllister hits the bar, and I think he was quite lucky to actually hit the bar in the first place, because Cash misses the ball out to the left. The ball is then ricocheted off Maupé and it finds its way to McAllister, but he's hit the bar and it goes over into the Villa fans, which they enjoyed seeing that go over. Then it was Ramsey with a chance. But it was very good defensive work from Brighton. Then I've put Brighton were exposed in the flanks because, you know, we had two men really far up in Coutinho and Watkins. Sometimes it was Ings on one of the sides. It just depended on when they were rotating. With them playing a five in midfield, it was able for them to stretch the wide play. So it left our fullbacks exposed, and also drawing our centre midfielders out to help with the press and the cover. And then you had a McGinn chance later on. And then the last thing for the half, I said the referee had lost the game, and you can tell it was his third game in charge of a referee, or his fourth game in charge of a Premier League game, with the, you know, nine cards shown, and I think we got five of them, and some of them are, I don't think they should have been, and they possibly could have been even more for the game, which is, you know, crazy to think. I think the commentators did sum it up, you know, there was no real malicious fouls or anything like that. It was just silly stuff and, you know, reactions and discipline and just things that are not needed, and we're going to get a fine from the FA because we've had five players booked in one game. And, you know, again, you know, Martinez gets booked. I'm pretty sure he's on three or four now for cards to the season. But don't they go over after halfway?
Yeah, they do.
So he should be fine. He's got four and he's had, I think, two since Christmas. So he might be on two bookings at the moment. So, you know, if it carries on, you know, we'll miss Martinez, and that's a big blow. And, you know, we'll miss the likes of Cash. And if Cash and, God forbid, you know, Dean are out the same week, game week, then, you know, we're going to be in trouble for backup. So some of the fouling and some of the yellow cards need to stop. Otherwise, it could leave us in a bad position in a few games along the line. But as we head into half time, we were 1-0 up. We rode a little bit of a storm, and, 1-0 up away with the team that was out, I think a lot of people would have taken that.
Yeah, I mean, like, just before going to the first half, and just to go on your points, I because, like I said, I was out, I was kept refreshing and seeing, like, all these results come flying in, and as was it even kicked off. And then I was like, oh, it must be my signal. And obviously, I found out it was because the game was delayed. So I was pretty much screwing up my phone because I thought it was knackered, because I was just getting no results through. I was, like, Twitter and Facebook just weren't, you know, just in that, like, low network zone. So that I will say, if anybody else was on that bandwagon with me, you know, Solitude to you, because I was one of those absolutely going mad. But yeah, like you said about the goal, well taken. And like I said, the whole thing with him lifting his shirt, I get the letter of the law, but obviously some things are greater than football, and this is one of those. You know, and hope, and like you say, because he's playing for Poland now, obviously he's going to get a lot more. He probably already knew people probably for Poland, being, you know, like, I'm sure his mom's Polish, I believe. So he might have already known players already, or if not, he'll definitely know them now, obviously playing for the national squad. But it was such a well-taken goal. And like you said about the bookings, we are getting quite a few now, and it can't any... I mean, like, when I had a quick look before we come on air, I was kind of, like, looking, thinking, like, I just need to check the bookings out. And it was, like, it's pretty much half the squad got booked. And obviously that needs to... that needs to calm down, otherwise it is going to bite us in games. And obviously with teams, we are obviously, you know, this, it is a huge win, but you know, the bottom three, between us and the bottom three, doing 9 points, so losing key members of staff, to bookings is not something we need. I'm not saying we are going to get relegated or anything like that, but obviously 9 points isn't huge, so we've got to make sure we don't, you know, we keep all our best players fit and obviously not suspended. But yeah, going into the second half, I mean, was there any changes for you? Because I felt that from what I saw, Brighton were the better side.
I think their formation helped them. Obviously, having three men in midfield, to match with our three men in midfield, it kind of nulled us out. And also they were happy to defend and be behind the ball, but it seemed like we were dictating the tempo of the game. We knew when to step up and we knew when to kind of slow it down. We were happy with the ball at the back. We seemed very composed today, which I liked, even with the back four and Martinez, you know, all in kind of unison, and they all understood each other. Thought Luiz did play better, but still had his moments of, his moments of madness. And he's, you know, still not plucking the strings that we know that he can. So really at half-time, and also Coutinho wasn't, you know, probably firing on all cylinders, but it's Coutinho, so you keep him on. So probably not... considering the first half, it was a bit of a battle, but we were winning the battle, so I was happy to go in and come out into the second half with no changes.
Yeah, like you say, I was happy. I mean, if he made changes, I'd have been happy, but because 1-0 is just one of those funny results. It's like, because it can go for you or against you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where the team can come out and the 1-0 down, so they just go, you know, screw it, just go for the wind, and then just absolutely go mental, and then, you know, they can pull it back. And then obviously, if you're 1-0 up, you kind of become a bit, well, in typical Villa fashion, get too relaxed and you, like, take your foot off the pedal. So 1-0 for me is always one of those funny results at half-time. That can go either way very quickly after the halftime break. But yeah, same. I'd probably, you know, stick with the winning side, so I wouldn't have made no changes. For the second half, what do you think of it? Because obviously it was kind of like the same again.
Yeah, you know, brawls and battles all over the pitch once again. A good start to the half. Coutinho with a free kick, which was, you know, fair play to the keeper. It's a good save. And finally, we didn't have Luiz on a free kick. So
yeah, and Coutinho nearly scores off it. Shock horror. Who would have thought that?
Exactly. So straight after that, you've got the cash chance. Quick free kick taken, put over the defensive line. Cash runs onto it and he's dragged it too far to the left, unfortunately. Then you've got a penalty appeal, which isn't on the highlights. Lewis Dunk does handball it in the area. VAR had a quick look of it and said no penalty, which I thought they looked at it too quickly, but that's probably my bias kicking in. After that, I've only got to say the Watkins goal, a fantastic ball from Mings, and it's something that we have implemented into our game over the last few weeks, especially since Gerrard has been here. A long ball from the centre backs, trying to get it over the defensive line. This time it's worked. I think it's Veltman who just doesn't read the ball, the flight of the ball, and Watkins gets it. He just about gets it under control before Dunk comes and smashes into him. Dunk hasn't got time to put him off, and it's good composure from Watkins to say that he hadn't scored in, I think it was 7 games, I think. He'd not scored since, when was it? I can't remember, but he's not scored.
About 7 games, isn't it?
He's not scored in a long time, and you wouldn't have thought from it from the finish itself. So, a lovely finish. You could see how much it meant to him. You've probably seen the pictures on Twitter about the celebrations. So happy for him. He had a goal chalked off against Newcastle, and this will do him the world of good, confidence wise. And Ings Watkins worked okay today, but it still added blips. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see it just being Watkins up top for the next game.
Yeah, I think so too, because as much as I think Ings will come good, and he's a Premier League striker, no doubt about it, but it's just not working at the moment for him, for whatever the reason is. So I agree with that, and I think it was harsh on Buendia to drop him, so I'd probably bring him straight back in, even though it was quite, I wouldn't say it's strange he didn't get minutes, but, because obviously we won 2-0, I still think it was harsh he got dropped. So coming up to Southampton, I'll be quite interested how he plays, because especially going back onto the bookings, we can't keep getting bookings against Southampton because there's a guy there who is probably the best set-piece caker in the league, in probably world football at the moment, because his free kicks are just phenomenal. I mean, everyone's raving about Trippier, but yeah, Ward-Prowse is just something else. So we can't afford to take these bookings. So it's going to be interesting when he sets up against that. But yeah, on that second half, the one thing I will say is the Watkins goal. I mean, you would never have thought he was on a goal drake with how well he took that. How well he took that was brilliant. I mean, it was just the whole build-up. I know it was a long ball, which isn't something, it's not pretty football. But that was proper Watkins game, hanging on the last man, he's not the quickest player, but we don't half run, and then, going one-on-one, I was fearful that we know what he can like. He probably hit the crossbar 9 times out of 10. It was such a clinical finish, and, Sanchez is a very good keeper, and I think he showed that with a Coutinho save from his free kick as well. So when I saw that he was going through one-on-one, I thought, he's going to miss this. He's going to hit the bar, because he hasn't had one in a while, and lo and behold, he was a very tidy clinical finish. So I have no complaints with that. But like you say, I think Ings should be dropped for the next game. Not because I don't think he's a good player, but just going on merit and form. Watkins is now in form because he's scored. Looking back after the game, is there anything that any positives and negatives you can take from it?
Positives is defensively. I don't think... You might look at the stats and it be, what is it? Brighton have 12 shots. Yeah, they did have 12 shots, but they only had one on target. It was like what we had the other week. We couldn't get a shot on target to kind of save our lives. So, I'm surprised to see that, according to the BBC, that Brighton dominated possession. I think after we scored the second goal, I think we kind of put it into fourth gear and be like, oh yeah, we'll take this, and we'll just not set up shop, but we'll slower the tempo, get a few more players behind the ball, and we'll just kind of relax a bit more. We know the game's won with the amount of time that's left, but we still had to come up. Brighton was still going for it. They still went for it to the final whistle. They're still winning corners, still going forward. So we had to be alert whenever they were coming forward. Martinez makes an easy save, 79th minute. from I can't remember who, but he had an easy game today. Again, shame about the yellow card, but you know, he actually did. It was stupid because the referee said he was time wasting, but referee blew his whistle after he kicked it. So you never know. Not going to question the officials today because we all know how bad they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think how the game's going to go when we bring on little Tim, as I'm going to call him, with not long to go, to give him some minutes. His first professional debut with the first team and in the Premier League. So good to see a youth player come in. I think he's only coming on because Chukwuemeka got a knock earlier on in the week. And, you know, like you said earlier on, Timmy O'Reilly getting onto the bench for the first time after, you know, he's travelled with the squad a few times. And I've listened to Gerrard's press conference afterwards. Well, his quick one anyway with the Villa Twitter. And he said how much he's been impressed with Tim and, you know, he can go really far in the game. And that's what we like to hear. And hopefully he's in and around the first team a lot more come the summer.
For me, the positives are obviously the clean sheet, which is something we've needed. A striker scoring, which is obviously something else we've needed. Both ends of the pitch, which is good. And obviously some youth players getting onto the bench is probably the main things I will say as a positive. The negatives, I don't want to be too negative, Nelly, towards all this, but it's, like you said, the defensive was good, but it's the midfield again. I'm kind of finding being a bit too open. You know, there was a couple of chances like Welbeck could have finished. And I think McAllister should have done better with his chance as well. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, those things don't come in games because you could have easily said the Coutinho free kick to even it out. To make it 3-2 if they went in. But like, it's just the midfield for me just seems to be, especially the centre, we're still kind of lacking that link up between the three. Like I said earlier, the Watkins goal come from a Mings, just an over the top route one, you know, just completely cutting out the midfield. And then obviously Cash's was just, you know, sublime, you know, everyone loves half volley. So you can't really, you know, knock that. But, you know, there's just not very much going through the middle. That's kind of like a big build-up. So I was kind of excited to see Sanson actually get some minutes finally. Hopefully he gets a start. It's just the midfield again. And it might be something I'm going to keep talking about as a negative for the rest of the season until something changes. But the other thing I will say is that they had a lot more possession. Obviously, possession doesn't win games, obviously. But it's just, you know, we thought, and I'm hoping that improves against Southampton, because the way Gerrard was talking when he joined and his philosophy was this, you know, keeping the ball, you know, winning the ball in high areas and attacking. And at the moment, obviously, if we haven't got the squad to do it, and he's just going to do what he's got to do to get the points on the board and then, you know, reassess in the summer, because apparently he's come out and said that there's going to be big changes in the summer because players are fighting for their Villa careers. I saw that yesterday, I think it was. So it's going to be interesting to see who those are. But yeah, there's still things to work on, but there's a lot more positives and negatives coming out of that. You know, and obviously extra 3 points on the board. Newcastle obviously winning doesn't help us either. But, you know, we have now leapfrogged Leicester, but obviously they've got two games in hand. So, you know, we're not clear of the Wolves as in the relegation, but, you know, we it's helped our cause quite a bit, that 3 points has. And obviously we close the gap on Brighton, who 10th and we're 12th at the moment as I'm speaking. So it obviously closes that. So, you know, we're beating a team, you know, technically above us. So that's good. Player ratings. So going with the back five of Martinez, Cash, Konsa, Mings and Luca Dean.
Martinez will be a 7. Cash, an 8. Konsa, 7. Mings, 8. and Dean 6, because we don't do half ratings.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'd probably put Cash as my man of the match. I thought he was very good. I know, like you said at the start, there was a lot of people wanting Cash not to play. I thought that was silly because he's our best right back by miles. Maybe when Gilbert comes back in the summer, hopefully he comes back, you know, there'll be more pressure for him to kick on, or, you know, if the rumour's true of Cash going to Atletico Madrid, we'll soon see. But yeah, Luca Dean was definitely the weakest link in that back five, which is quite a surprise. To be honest, for me, he hasn't been as good as I thought he would be so far. Still early days, but, you know, he hasn't been, you know, that much of an upgrade currently to Matt Target, you know, without sounding too harsh, especially with the form Target's in at the moment. The middle three of McGinn, Luiz and Ramsey.
McGinn, I'll give an 8. Luiz will get a 5. And is probably the player who has the most individual mistakes in the game. Again, his yellow card was a bit silly. I think he's, you know, got to his, I think it was Trossard, got in his head, basically, and he just grabs him around the neck.
Yeah,
stupid. So it's just a bit silly. Ramsey, 6, quiet game for him, apart from his chance, which was blocked. You know, he was getting in and around, but, you know, you wouldn't have kind of known he was on the pitch for half of it. And then, that's it.
McGinn 7, one of his better games. Ramsey 6, and Luiz 5-4 maybe. Again, still don't understand what he's doing to get in the starting 11, especially when you've got, you know, the likes of Sanson, who's, you know, I think should be starting. Even Chambers, you know, you've got Tim, young, little Tim, as you're calling him there. Tommy O'Reilly coming through. Chukwuemeka when he's back, you know, it's not like it's him or nobody. You know, there's people in and around there who should be starting ahead of him, and I just don't know why he's starting. And again, it's another game passes by where he's kind of passed by. So yeah, 5 for him. Just yeah.
I mean, there were some times in the game where Luiz did bomb forward out to to the wide play. And
there was one good cross, I think, if I remember right. There was one that was a really good cross across the box. And I think that was the only highlight I can say. Like, obviously, there was ones where he bombed forward, as you just said, but there was just one very good cross for the sake of, you know, till he got substituted.
So I wonder if it'll be something that McGinn goes into that number 6, but we need McGinn in that number 8 role.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. We just don't have a natural 6. We just don't literally have one. And this is what annoys me with Luiz, is people say he's not a 6. Okay, well, he's not a 6. That's fine. But when he plays as a, and they go, they say play him as a 5, or a defensive midfielder. Play him there because then he's protected. So if he does silly mistakes, he's got, you know, the back four behind him. But then people will go argue against that, saying, well, he should be more forward because he's more creative. We put him more forward and he does nothing. I don't know what his best position is, because we seem to play him, we play him in defensive midfield, play him centre midfield, play him in, well, I wouldn't say as a 10, but just, you know, just tucked him behind that, more of a box to box. And I genuinely don't know what his best position is, because every time I see him play, in whatever role it is, there's still people in our squad I put above him in that role. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I just think if his name was Douglas Lewis from Cheltenham and, you know, he wasn't this Brazilian international, I genuinely don't think people be raving half as much as they do about him, because there's so many times I've said this about he, I just don't understand. And I always get thrown back to the same argument. Oh, well, he's a Brazilian international. So what does that mean? That makes no difference at all. Joe, we play for Man City, he's a Brazilian international. He did nothing. Let's just not go down that route. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, sorry for ranting, but yeah, I just don't get the whole Luiz rant at all. Like when they said there was a £35 million bid, I would have drove him to Arsenal, whoever it was who come in for him, because I don't see it. I'm sorry. Maybe eat my words. Maybe, but we'll see. The front three of Watkins, Ings and Coutinho.
Watkins an 8. I'll give Ings a 6. Again, I mean, we've touched on it earlier that, you know, it wasn't his best game. And it's just a bit... I just don't know, because Watkins seems to get a lot of chances when he's playing out wide, but he needs to be down the middle. so he's not, you know, crossing it to someone else to score. And then Coutinho, I mean, probably it would have been maybe a 9 if that free kick went in.
Yeah.
But it was a quiet game. Again, you know, Coutinho and Ramsey seem to have a really quiet game. Both of them together today. And so I have to give him a 6.
Ollie, 8. He would have been man of the match, but I think Cash did that bit more. He was a bit, like you said, he's better out wide. But then he should start through the middle because our centre forward isn't doing it at the moment. So, and obviously he's taking Buendia's spot, which I think is a bit harsh on Buendia. But he scored. So what can you do? So I gave an 8 for Watkins. Ings, I gave a 5, like Louise. If Ings isn't scoring goals, he's not really contributing to the game. The only thing that I will say is because he's on the pitch, you might find that he gets double marked. So, you know, which obviously creates space for somebody else. But then obviously that's not down to who his gameplay, that's just down to the opposition. So, you know, that does help. But obviously you can't have somebody on the pitch just on the off chance they decide to put 2 on him. and obviously Coutinho is the same again. I'll put 2 on him, which helps, you know, probably free up someone like a Watkins to score. Not saying it is down to that, but it does help. And yeah, it was a very quiet game for Coutinho. If the free kick went in, you know, everyone would have been raving about him. He's still, you know, he's instrumental to this side. But yeah, it was a quiet game, but he still did more than Ings. So a 6. And the substitutes, please, which is Sanson, Young and Tim. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his surname.
Sanson will get a 6. He seems to do okay whenever he comes on, but he's not getting enough minutes. Young, to be honest, didn't actually see him touch the ball. And Tim, I did see him actually touch the ball and he seemed okay. He seemed quite comfortable. It's obviously a bit hard to adapt to proper men's team, to under-23s. But hopefully he gets more minutes. So I'll give him a 6 as well as Sanson.
I'll give them all a 5, to be fair. None of them really did anything to contribute, but none of them did anything to mess up. So obviously Sanson coming up the early 72, and then you're looking at 79, 86. So, you know, there's not enough minutes to do anything. And then when Sanson come on, like I say, he didn't really do much. But again, it was he come on and just kind of showed up. What, you know, he was there just to make sure we kept the win, basically. So not, like I say, he come on pretty much what 2-3 minutes after Watkins scored. So I think his job was just to make sure you know, the 3 points was in the bag more so, especially coming on for Louise. Well, there's the first part of the podcast done. Now we're going to jump into part 2, which is the Southampton preview. Obviously, Southampton have been a bit of a bogey team over the since we've been up, and obviously they picked up 3 points yesterday against Dino. Unfortunately, you know, I'd love to see them stay up. Not obviously because it's Dino, but just everyone loves an underdog, don't they? To be fair, but sadly, Southampton put them to the sword. So hopefully we can get some revenge for Dino. So what would be your lineup?
I think you only need to make one change to that team. And I would take out Ings and I would put in Buendia. Going back to how we would normally play. But, you know, Danny Ings against his former club, we never know. So that'd be a tasty one to see. So we'll have to see, but I don't think there'll be many changes, if any, like the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'll probably agree with that. I mean, I would love to see Bailey get a run out. I'd love to see Sanson get a run out. Like I said, I think it was harsh on Buendia to get dropped. So there's 3 changes personally I'd make. I think Gerrard will stick with a winning side. He's been sticking with a losing side, let alone a winning side, for so long. So I don't think he'll make any changes. But like I say, I would love to see Bailey come in and get a good run, which I think he deserves. And I think everyone's desperate to see that. But for me personally, I would like to see Watkins put through the middle, and I would like to see Bailey come in just to get a start above Buendia, just to see what he's got. But yeah, like you said, from a Gerald point of view, if I was a betting man, I don't think there'd be any changes. How do you think it's going to go? Because Southampton are a bit of a, well, they're on a bit of a good run, to be fair. You know, they drew with City, beat Spurs, drew with United, beat Everton and beat Norwich. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, 6 include the Coventry FA Cup win. So they're on a bit of a roll at the moment, which is a bit of a worry because we if a team need a win, they beat us. So hopefully with the other way around, where they're on a bit of a roll of winning, hopefully we can take the 3 points. But yeah, I think this is going to be a lot harder than people realise.
Yeah, you know, you've just said it there. They're on a 5-game unbeaten streak, and that unbeaten streak is against the likes of Man City, Tottenham and United. You know, the last loss they had was on the 15th of Jan against Wolves. But in and around teams around us, they 4-1 to Brentford. You know, they drew with Spurs again, beat West Ham, drew with Palace. Okay, they lost to Arsenal, but that's back in the 11th of December. You know, if you look at the last game that they probably should have won and didn't, you have to go back to the 20th of November and they lost 2-1 to Norwich. But that's, what, three and a half months since then. So, you know, they've kind of turned it around. The only, well, I don't know if it's a saving grace, but, you know, the good thing about how the fixtures are going to go, Southampton actually will play on the Wednesday, then play us on the Saturday, and then we'll go and play on the Thursday against Newcastle. But I believe we'll play Saturday, Thursday anyway, Southampton then Leeds. So in Southampton play Wednesday, the Wednesday before against West Ham in the FA Cup. So possible, is that possible, 120 minutes?
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, you know, Southampton maybe get an injury or, you know, 120 minutes. That would be nice. It would have been nice if they were, well, would have been a lot better if they were away from home. But it doesn't matter. We need to just focus on ourselves, prepare for it as best we can. Try and make sure everyone stays fit throughout the week or until next week, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, next Saturday.
And, you know, we're at home. The fans should be in better spirit this week, you know, with a win today. But it will be a tough game. You know, when you look at their team and think, oh, that's bang average, but they've got some good players in there. You know, like we said earlier, James Ward-Prowse, the free kick specialist. Their two up front have been very good this season. You know, we even though one of them is a former Blue Nose in Shea Adam, and that Borgia from Chelsea have been a menace, both of them up top. So it's going to be tougher. You know, the potential of Konsa and Mings to keep them at bay. So, Southampton will probably be favourites going into this game. You know, they sit higher up in the table in ninth, but you know, if we win this game, we'll be a game in hand on them and 2 points behind. So it'd be massive for us to get a win, and massive for us in regards to the table and the teams around us. But we need to have another performance like that, if not even better than the performance today, to go and beat the likes of Southampton. And we can only hope that their midweek game before us is a tough one against West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is they've got some good players. And like you say, it's like you said, there's nothing, you look at it and you're like, there's nothing really special there. I mean, obviously, when we signed Ings, he was one of the best of the two, I'd say, with Ward-Prowse being the other, who he was linked with all summer. I mean, I thought that would just killed Southampton if we got Ward-Prowse, but obviously not. You know, they've recruited well. Che Adams has come good. They've got a good, you know, good side now. And Hasenhüttl, who I was pretty much raving about when Dino went, I wanted Hasenhüttl was in my shortlist, to be fair, because I think he's a very good manager. I thought he did really well in Germany. I think he's done well with a bang average Southampton side too. And he's not exactly spent gazillions on that side either. But it is what it is. We're coming, we've got to play everybody twice. And it just feels like this is a bit of a bogey side. As I said earlier, we can't afford to keep getting these stupid bookings we get because, like you just said as well, the set piece specialist Ward-Prowse will hurt us like he did last time. I believe last season he was absolutely, it was something else.
4-3 at Villa Park.
Yeah.
Southampton.
Ridiculous free kick as well. But the worst thing about it is that there's a couple of fixtures in around it that Leeds and Leicester, you know, that's a fixture that's on the same day. Newcastle, Brighton, Norwich and Brentford, not so much. But, you know, they're fixtures that could harm us in league position-wise if they go tits up. So, you know, we've got to be mindful. As I said before, we're not in a relegation battle, but, you know, we've got to be careful looking over our shoulder. You know, Leeds and Leicester is probably the tastiest of the two out of all the fixtures. You know, with Leeds on, you know, falling down, and obviously I think Leeds are the fixture after that. I think they're in the COVID return, isn't it? You know, when their game got suspended. So, you know, probably could do with Leicester doing us a favour there, because I think Bielsa will probably get the sack then. But for our game, we've just got to... I don't know what to say about it, because, like you said, we've got Danny Ings who come from there, you know, which normally when a player returns to Villa always has a game of the life, so hopefully that works, shoe on the other foot. But I genuinely think this game comes down to not how good Southampton are, but how we turn up. You know, I think the ball's in our court. We're at home, and if we play how we've played against the likes of Leeds, I'd say probably the last game, I'd say we you know should have won. If we play like that, then I can't see why we can't come away with 3 points. I do think it is going to be, I think them going to score. Especially, like you said, with that Borja being on form, Che Adams as well, being an ex-Blue Nose doesn't help our cause, and Ward-Prowse being there. But it's an important fixture.
Shane Long always loves a goal against us.
Do you know what? I try and forget. Do you know what? I always forget where he is, because he's just been he's been around forever. And now he's like, he just every time I look, I'm like, wonder where Shane... Like, I always forget. He's one of those players I know, obviously know of. But I always think, do you know what? I'm sure he's dropped to the Championship, and you're looking like, Christ, he's still in Premier League. Not that he's not a good player, because he was in his heyday, but he's just like, he's just there, isn't he? it's just a weird one.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think it's going to be an interesting game all round, and I think fans, I've seen a few people say on Twitter that, you know, it's another 3 points, you know, when they put the next 3-4 fixtures up and they automatically put 3 points against Southampton, and I think those people are could potentially be shocked when they probably look at the form of Southampton. Because to be fair, doing the research for this podcast, I didn't realise how far back you've got to go to when they last got beat. So on that, what is your prediction?
Well, the last two games that have been Villa versus Southampton have been 1-0, but one to Southampton earlier on this season, and then to us last January, last season in January, should I say. You know, if you take that a win away from us, we haven't beaten Southampton home or away since 2005.
Are you joking? Is it really that long?
Well, to be fair, between 2005 and 2012, Southampton were in the second division.
Okay.
And between 2016 to 2019, we were in the second division. So
it's a bit of a cheaty stat, isn't it, though? It's a bit cheaty.
Shut up. I would like a win, very muchly. I think with the congestion and the games that Southampton will be playing, so, you know, West Ham, us, then Newcastle, I think they will think of the bigger picture, and they will struggle more than us. I'm going to say 2-1 to Villa.
I will say 2-1 to Villa as well. I think we'll score. I'm going to put Watkins down, as I've always said. Watkins goes on a run once he gets one. So I think Watkins will get the first. I think they'll come back and equalise from Che Adams. And then I think Danny Ings is going to put the nail in the coffin and make it 2-1. Just before we go, the only real big stat I've got, which ties in, I should have said in the lineup to be fair, but it is what it is. I forgot. is it will be Louis, if he does start, it will be Louise's 99th appearance for Villa. Wow. So he's going to nearly make that 100th. He's going to be there. Well, he'll definitely break it by the end of the season, no doubt. So that shows quite surprising how many games he's played for us. And that was, that little stat was thanks to avfchistory.co.uk, where you can also listen to our podcast on there, as well as every other platform, your usual podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Music, I think the other one is, Spotify, and all the other ones you listen on. But like I say, we are on their website now, and his website is coming on. Like I say, still in the basic rounds, but he's getting there by all accounts. On to the final stage of our it feels like a 14-hour podcast, but now it's coming up to, is the loan watch, you know, because we're trying to keep an eye on everybody that's out, because it seems like we've gone down the Chelsea route. And every man and his dog, he's gone out on loan. Some people will probably say we should have kept some of them, in the likes of Archer and possibly maybe. Well, I'd say Davies has been the one everyone's been kind of raving about. So over to you, Callum, as always. Who have you had your binoculars on this week?
Well, I think we've had a 2-game weeks for some players. Those players playing in the EFL, because they played midweek as well as today. But we start off with the Premier League loan E out, in Matt Target. He's played 270 minutes of a possible 270 minutes for Newcastle. Obviously, he couldn't play against us, but he has played 90 minutes in every game, and he's won 2 and drew 1. And that's a pretty good return, isn't it? no goals, no assists as of yet, but he's keeping clean. Well, he's kept one clean sheet, and he's actually getting points for Newcastle. So that's a bit of a shame for us. Next, we go over to Turkey, and that's with Trezeguet with Istanbul Beşiktaş. He takes his tally to 3 goals for the season and 1 assist, scoring today in a 2-1 defeat for a team that I'm not going to pronounce because I'll be here all evening. Then we go to France, where Frédéric Gilbert is at. He's added an assist to his name from last week, and he's still a consistent player in the ranks of Strasbourg. You know, he's had 90 minutes in the last 3 games. Before that, he's 87 and 63, so you know, he's definitely, I think Strasbourg will buy him in the summer. Anyway, we move on to the Championship, where we start off with Jadon Philogene-Badince, someone who is getting lots and lots of minutes at Stoke, and it's something that he has needed for sure. Unfortunately, no goals and assists recently. And he's currently injured at the moment, according to Stoke fans on Twitter. They said, because there's a lot of Villa fans trying to keep up with the news of our loanees, especially those in the Championship. And the Stoke fans said that he was out today in a big match against Bournemouth due to injury. But he's still getting minutes like he did in midweek. Keenan Davis next at Nottingham Forest. Still doing well, still getting in lots of minutes. It was the Keenan Davis Cameron Archer derby, as a lot of people called it, midweek, as Preston played Nottingham Forest. Davis not getting any goals and assists since the start of February, but he is being played. He is getting involved in the teams. He's getting involved in the play. I do keep my eye on Forrest, so I keep getting good reports back that he is he is doing well, and that's good for him, because I think that'll improve his value to when we sell him in the summer. Cameron Archer, next. You know, he's been quiet, but he's only had 4 goals this season in about 9 games, I think it is now. But he's, after the first 2 games, he's played more than 87 minutes in the last 5 games, even in the last 6 games, actually. So he's getting the minutes up, which is great for him, especially at his development. He's come up through really quickly, and really he should be probably third choice as the summer rolls round. And our final player in the Championship is Jed Steer at Luton Town. He's had his 3rd game in a row in the league as he gets another clean sheet. He's had 2 clean sheets in the league in 3 appearances. And I think he's had 3 clean sheets overall. I think he got 1 in the cup with Luton as well. So he's actually getting Luton points. You know, they've played some teams around them. You know, they beat West Brom, beat Stoke, beat Derby. They're on a good run, and I'd like Luton to try and get into the playoffs, because it would be incredible. You know, if they get into the Premier League, imagine that. Luton Town in the Premier League. Moving into League One, someone who had a very good midweek game is Kane Kessler-Hayden, getting a goal against Charlton Athletic midweek for MK Dons, having a fantastic time at MK. Back-to-back 90 minutes for him. He's pushed his way into the first team, and hopefully that continues. And he was involved in a 2-0 win over Bolton today. So hopefully he keeps on pushing his performances and MK Dons up the table. Next, in League One, we go to Cheltenham Town, where Aaron Ramsey is. He's had 7 involvements now while on loan at Cheltenham since January, which, again, is only going to improve him even more. 19-year-old, obviously the younger brother of Jacob Ramsey, and we can all see how he's playing. It would be interesting to see Ramsey and Ramsey in the starting 11. A commentator's nightmare it would be. Ramsey passes it to Ramsey, back to Ramsey. You know, it'd be like, I can't remember, but there's some team in Scotland that has like Hamilton. There was like 3 Hamiltons in the game, and then there was the team Hamilton. Unbelievable. Louis Barry, so we're going to move into League 2 now. There's only 2 players in League 2, and Louis Barry, again, someone who had a great midweek game. He scored 2 in a 5-0 win over Warsaw for Swindon Town, which puts his tally up to 3 goals for the season, and both his goals, I don't know if you saw them, they were taken very, very well, which was nice to see. Still getting minutes. He got 79 minutes today, unfortunately, in a 2-1 loss to Salford. Didn't do anything in that game, but he's getting minutes, and that's all we need. Final player for the EFL is Finn Azeya. I think that's how you say his name anyway. He's been on loan for the season. Someone who's actually been able to stay at a club for the duration of the season. He's been at Newport County, where he's played 32 times as a centre and attacking midfielder, scoring 4 goals and 7 assists. And I tell you what, you want to watch Quest tonight or tomorrow morning for his goal against Tranmere. A lovely finish with the right foot into the top right-hand corner. It was fantastic. And there's a few times where his name has come up about scoring some lovely goals. Obviously, we got him from West Brom in the summer, just gone. And yeah, we kind of poached him and just sent him out straight away. He is getting on, though. He's 21, so if he wants to impress, he needs to get more contributions and maybe go into League One next year. But I think time might be running out for him, unfortunately. And finally, the final player that we're going to look at, because we're only going to stick to up to the National League, And that player is Arjan Reiki, who has now been involved in 7 games for Grimsby, getting some good reviews out from Grimsby, saying that he's a very good, calm and collective centre midfielder, can spray a pass, and also can get his body in the way. So that's good to hear about him. We've seen glimpses of a few of these players when we played Liverpool, and we had to play basically the under-23s and the under-18s team for that game. And it's good to see that a lot of them getting minutes. There are more players out there, like the likes of El Ghazi not getting minutes, Wesley not getting minutes, Harahan, I don't think, getting involved. And also the youngsters that are out there as well. Off the top of my head, you've got Seb Revan, Philip Marshall, and players like that from the under-18s and the under-23s, all out on loan at other clubs less down the pecking order in the tier system than the National League. And that wraps up the Loan Watch.
Well, there you go, guys. Thank you for listening. Like I say, it has gone to pretty much an hour or just over. So thank you for listening. And we will see you next week for hopefully another 3 points and moving up the table. Thank you, guys. Up the Villa.